on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keys. President Biden marking Veterans Day this morning, attending a commemoration ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. It honors the sacrifice of those who put our nation first. But CBS's Catherine Herridge tells us military service can be challenging for troops and their families. There are those trying to help.
The charity started by Gary Markell has sent more than 1,100 special operators and their partners on retreats designed to mend relationships damaged by the call of duty. With donors loaning their vacation homes from Aspen, Colorado, to Naples, Florida, and the Caribbean.
Now to Israel, where tens of thousands of civilians in Gaza who had been sheltering at the largest hospital are fleeing as Israel's military forces close in. Israel says it is not firing on the hospital, but is clashing with Hamas militants around it. CBS's Ramy Innocencio.
Without shelter, under bombardment, the injured have fewer places for medical care. The clinic still open, massively overcrowded. This maternity wing used to deliver 10 babies a day. In the last 24 hours, they've had 45 innocents born into war.
In London, police say they have arrested 82 people in a counter-protest to a massive pro-Palestinian march. The BBC's Graham Satchel.
As far as the eye can see, there are banners, flags and placards and people chanting Free Palestine and Ceasefire Now. Organizers say there may be more than 500,000 people here. It is the timing of this protest, coming on Remembrance Weekend, that has caused concern for some. The Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, has called it disrespectful. Protesters I've spoken to say nothing could be more appropriate on Armistice Day than calling for a ceasefire.
CBS News has confirmed that the FBI seized electronic devices from New York City Mayor Eric Adams as part of a probe into his campaign fundraising. CBS's Michelle Miller.
It's all part of an investigation into whether Adams' 2021 campaign conspired with the Turkish government to receive foreign donations funneled through straw donors. On Friday, Adams's attorney told CBS News that the mayor has not been accused of any wrongdoing and continues to cooperate with the investigation.
Also in New York, police are becoming increasingly worried by the hostility and number of protests involving the Israel-Hamas war. Grand Central Station was briefly shut down last night during a large pro-Palestinian demonstration. Police say there are rallies being held every single day. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The journey to a smoke-free life can be difficult. Kick the habit with the help of Vape Walkie. Vape Walkie isn't just a vape shop, they're a community, and their knowledgeable staff can assist you in finding the perfect products to suit your needs. With a wide variety of vaping products at the best prices, they cater to everyone from novices to cloud enthusiasts. Mention this ad and join the rewards program.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. America yet again finds itself on the brink of a government shutdown. People in Wisconsin want lawmakers to keep working Americans in mind when considering certain programs. More from Mike Mohn.
Congress has 1 week to approve a new federal spending plan, but with a new House Speaker in place come renewed concerns Republicans in that chamber will press for steep cuts before the latest deadline. Jordan Anderson, a disability rights advocate from central Wisconsin, worries about accessing disability benefits through Social Security if his job status changes. It's even more pressing for those close to him.
They have friends that are unable to work, so they kind of depend on that one check that comes every month, and it's vital to have what they need to buy groceries.
Anderson also worries about water quality in his community. The House passed an environmental appropriations package that cut spending by 35%. Lawmakers did not respond to a request for comment, but generally, House GOP members have stressed the need to rein in spending. Hard right House members are pushing for cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program under the Farm Bill reauthorization. Linda Spaulding, a retired community college teacher from Kenosha, says many working families are struggling to get by.
When you're trying to decide, well, do I afford childcare or can I afford food on the table, what are you going to pick?
Bobby Kogan with the Center for American Progress says it's important for the public to know that House Republicans have floated cuts that some might argue go beyond extreme.
House Republicans called for an 80% cut. It's money that goes to poor school districts to make sure that they can hire teachers.
Lawmakers backing that idea say unspent COVID funding factors into their reasoning. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 46. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight. Lows level off around 35. Tomorrow, highs around 53. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Our awesome farmers market and The Shaw.
Sounds good. Okay, going live.
The big lake they call Gitchagumi. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw, and on 13 stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin on your Civic Media radio stations. We are in the rut. What does that mean, Danielle?
It means that I still have not gotten my deer.
It mean that you do understand that you have to sit in the woods to
hunt a deer? Sitting all weekend, but I have to work this darn job from 5 until about 5.
Why do you think, you know, I've been scouting real hard lately. The Fowl Life's coming into town next week, and we're going to be shooting episodes for the show. We're working with Travel Wisconsin right now, and we are also trying to get on the line to call in. Anya, I want to warn you ahead of time. Chad Belding is supposed to call in at 7:15.
That'd be exciting.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, I don't know if he actually will. However, he could and should call in. I've been working with him on it all day. He's meeting with Sig Sauer in Texas right now, and I said, he said, I'm having this meeting. I said, well, throw a little flex into the mix. Say, excuse me, gentlemen, ma'am, ladies, folks who are here. I'm going to have to step out and be on a statewide radio show.
Yeah, local radio show. Support your local radio,
produced
too.
By Anastasia Esther, by the way, who does an awesome job. And thank you very much for all. I feel like people don't thank the producers enough for all the work they do behind the scenes.
Yeah, me too.
I really do.
Thank you, Anastasia.
You're all very welcome.
Bandit says thank you, too.
I really do think. I would be remiss if I didn't say that we would like to also continue Anastasia's birthday month. She had her birthday last week.
It's so nice when men remember that we have a birthday month.
It's a birthday month.
I'm
all about celebrating it. Say hey to our 5 loyal listeners from Oconomowoc, the Kennedy clan.
Those are our 5, but we have more. People say they listen to us on a regular basis.
I'm telling you, Mark Kakich, who's in studio, he said he wants me to introduce him now as from the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. Not to always say he's past state duck calling champion, but he is the past state duck calling champion, and he blows a jargon call, and he loves it. And it's great to have him with us because we're going to talk a little bit about Travel Wisconsin, probably even before the first break and then after, like I said, depending on whether Chad calls in or not. And just when you think that Danielle doesn't get out in the woods enough because of her job, you do understand that people take off to hunt during the rut, right?
Okay, well, I'm ready for this conversation, so I am
I'm not your boss. Don't yell at me.
I am an apprentice, right? So I need my hours in order to get my bump and pay to be a journeyman. Awesomeness. But I only have 162 hours to go.
So next year,
I already told my boss and my boss's boss and the president, I'm taking off for a week and a half during the rut because I'm a journeyman and I don't need my hours.
So you're not doing that this year.
No, because I need my hours. I need to be a journeyman. Okay. Need to be a journeyman before the end of the year.
I can understand that. I can understand.
That's a $6 an hour raise.
That sounds good. I wish I could get a $6 an hour raise. I think I make about 30 cents an hour. So we have a unique opportunity today. We have the actual person whose land you've encroached on and become a hunter.
So Ethan Hansen
is joining us.
This is proof that I do go out hunting.
You're out in your, you have permission on this, you know, smallish property, but a decent whitetail property.
Correct.
They moved through there. And now all of a sudden you start seeing somebody on your game cameras. Who is it?
Oh, reverse. I saw him on the my game cameras because I didn't know who was doing it, who was building a new stand out there. And I was like, oh, this is all fresh. It smells like I'm walking through Home Depot. And I called the landowner. I'm like, who's doing this? She was like, I have no idea. I was like, huh.
Is this one of the cases where the landowner gave permission to multiple people and forgot they gave permission to...
Exactly.
Yeah, but he's family, though.
So
Danielle blew my cover.
I did.
So you were actually hunting relatives' property, and
right.
Danielle was like, you know, Russia invading the Ukraine there. That's what was going on in the deer woods. And I cannot emphasize and tell you how coveted and what a religion deer hunting is in the state of Wisconsin. It is like getting permission for goose or ducks or turkeys is one thing, but deer land is absolutely sacred. So what did you think when all of a sudden you started seeing Danielle
like
showing up near your stand?
I got a weird text message couple weeks ago from a girl who named Danielle. She sent me a message.
Hello.
And hi, I'd like to work together with you on hunting. I'm like, hunting where?
Hunting what? Hunting
on your aunt's property. And I get a cell camp
picture. Okay, it wasn't all like that right away. I got my bubbly personality in there, but I'm shaking as I'm texting everything. So I'm like,
because you're so nervous. He's going to be like, get the hell out of here.
Yes, I thought he were going to like butt heads and be horrible. I was terrified.
But Danielle, honestly, I think everybody who meets you likes you. Come on.
Well, this is through text message. He has no idea how
awesome
I am.
Yeah, and you know what? That's why I hate text messaging. I hate it. There's no emotion in text messaging.
No, so I
there's
call
no,
him.
You have no idea what people mean when they text. Hey, great to see you today. Well, are they saying it wasn't great to see me? Do they mean it was great to see me? Or are they making fun of me? I can't stand text messaging.
Okay, so continue.
Well, and, you know, to backtrack, my aunt is notorious for letting people on and forgetting who she let on and so forth. So, you know, it's me and another guy that hunt it. The other people we never see. So it wasn't a big deal, but I thought the trail cam picture of me and my 3.5-year-old was pretty priceless. And of course, she's right in the area where I'm like, that's where I kind of want to sit for the rut. That's kind of like the area I don't go into till end of October
and she's
early November.
Okay,
she's probably got Bandit with her.
But, this is what saved her.
Oh.
What saved her, I shouldn't say save her, but made me more open was the fact that I luckily had gotten my buck.
You shot a buck already?
October 15th.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice
Holy
buck.
Cow. Was it rutting or was it?
No, it was a
pre-rut. Just kind of sauntering 15, around.
No, I
tell me the story. I love hearing deer hunting.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story.
I don't get much of a chance. I don't get much of a chance to sit out for long hours, you know, deer hunting, even during the rut, because I hunt in the morning, then I go to work, and then if I can scout,
that's his
that's
that
a
he
beauty.
Got.
Wow, just think, Danielle, you could have had that heck if you actually.
No, that was actually a different. Different property,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he has a different property.
Okay. That was at my parents',
All
parents'
right.
property.
Now it's starting to make sense. You don't have just one property, and that's why you're not all that upset about it.
Right. Plus, she's
Danielle,
got the podcast.
I think you should start camping there right near your stand.
Well, she does have a mini horse named Brownie that I keep buying stuff for because... It's mini horse.
What do you mean a mini? Like a Shetland pony?
Oh, my land. Actual... Yes.
Brownie needs some care. Yeah.
Oh, why does everybody
Brownie
know what
loves
they're called?
Yeah.
Because that's what miniature horses are called.
What? A Shetland pony.
Shetland or Shetland? I don't know if there's a D on it.
I don't
Package,
know.
Can you help us out on that?
Not
you don't know either. No.
She's real grumpy.
I just like mini horse better. It's just a little mini
Who's
horse.
Who's grumpy?
He's so
Danielle?
No, the
Danielle
the
gets
pony.
Grumpy from
I don't
time
get
to
I don't get near 10 feet of the it's scares me.
Oh, Brownie?
Yeah, she's got like this weird grunt and
He's all I have an awesome story about Sunday when I was out.
Sunday story? See what I did right there?
That sounds delicious. Okay.
Robin Kennedy, of our five loyal listeners, loves my pun jokes. She does.
Everybody does.
Yes.
I think.
What's up? That's what she always says when I call her when she doesn't want to talk to me. What's up?
So I'm out Sunday hunting, and it's glorious. It's perfect. And I sit in my stand, and I start hearing rattles, right? I hear rattles, and it's clinging. I'm like, oh, sweet, sweet. And I hear it from behind me, but they're downwind. I'm like, okay, awesome. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get it. Well, they go on for about an hour of rattling nonstop. I'm like, all right, you know what? Why not? I'm going to make this an awesome, epic hunt, and I'm going to get down and stalk it and then shoot it because I know the big open area that they're in. I know I'm going to get it. So I get down. Every time they rattle, I take another step. They rattle, I take another step. It takes me about a half hour, 45 minutes to get up this hill to this big open area. I'm like, they're going to be right there. And then they're going at it so hard. I'm like, yes, let's go.
You're actually hearing other bucks ramming into each other.
Yes.
Fighting.
It is the greatest sound ever. And it gets
it's pretty
loud.
Exciting, except when they're grunting like within 20 yards.
And these weren't like other hunters?
And then I
like
did hear
rattling their horns?
No, I did hear a couple grunts here and there and like rustling through the leaves. I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is totally it.
Okay.
So I get closer to the top of the hill, and the hill flattens out and I hear them one more time.
Why are you walking and not in your stand?
You did not listen to the first part of my story. Yeah, I get down like I was stalking.
Yes, okay.
And then I get to the top of the hill and I hear them. I was thinking in my head, it's going to be a great muley hunt. Like I'm practicing for Wyoming or something.
If you can get close to a muley with a bow, good luck.
Okay, but then it turned out just to be Brownie and his pen sticking his head through the gates and rattling the gates trying to get grass. I stood up and I had two doe blow at me and they went past the trail camera. Two doe did. I'm like,
never get down.
If you mistake Brownie for a big buck, you would not have permission on that property anymore.
No, I recorded it. And once we get, we have time, I can play my recording. It sounds like bucks.
You literally recorded Brownie rattling at the cage?
I did.
She was hungry, huh?
Well, let's turn this baby up.
All right. Well, if you got it, we'll listen to it. We got a minute or two before the break. Was that it?
Shut up. You're so mean.
I'm the so not mean.
Okay, that didn't sound... It sounds like it.
It sounded a little bit to me like the ghost of Marley, but from...
Who is Marley?
The ghost of Marley from A Christmas Carol.
Oh, God.
Even I know that one. Come on. I'm thinking Marley
you're a
and me.
Person. I mean,
that's true. I'm not a theater
ghost,
person.
You know A Christmas Carol? Scrooge?
Yeah, and a Scrooge.
He first gets visited by the ghost of Marley who comes in rattling his chains.
Oh, that's Marley?
Yeah.
Oh, I just remember the tooth
fairy. That's Scrooge's old business partner.
The crazy lady. The fairy. What's her name? What is her name?
I think you're talking about the movie Scrooge, had Bill Murray in it. I think that's what you're not actually talking about A Christmas Carol. Okay.
Okay, I have no idea.
Kekich, can you save us before the break?
I got nothing. I'm just listening.
Can you save us before the break? Hey, how exciting is it that the Fall Life has teamed up with Travel Wisconsin? And
I think it's unprecedented, and I think it's great for Wisconsin.
I think it's fantastic. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Here's a little wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald to bring you into the break. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clapish and Danielle Fairman.
Put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
So talented. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. You're listening to the show on 540 AM WAUK, 101 FM, The Shaw, and everywhere you get your civic media radio station throughout the state of Wisconsin.
From give us a call.
The Wisconsin Wildlife Federation.
Ooh.
It's about time.
Mark Kakich. You've been a member of the Federation for about, what, 54 years now?
Just a little shy.
How old are you? How old are you anyway,
I'm not
actually?
54.
How old are you? Are you 52?
I'm 53.
Oh, my. You are older than me.
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
Yeah, I am.
I got a little Just for Men, a little of the beard dye at home, if you want to borrow some of mine.
No, in now.
It is totally in.
You need a little salt and pepper.
Right. I have some salt and pepper.
Yeah, you need more salt.
If I need more salt in my pepper.
It's about respect. First, you have to get a better
beard. Your beard is a little full of
sense right there, right? Yeah. Sorry, Becky.
We have kind of an un...
You don't have to.
Kind of an well, here's the crazy thing. My hair is still black. There's no gray in the hair on my head.
I have so much gray
there, though.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty there.
Sure, there is.
Yeah, I got good hair.
You have good, decent hair.
I have decent hair still. I mean, I work on it, Rogaine, morning and night, and then an infrared light helmet for 20 minutes every other day, and then I use
shampoo. Yeah, that explains it.
I do.
I
do. I've been working on it for 15 years. I want to have my hair.
Huh.
And I still have a respectable
travel
amount.
Wisconsin. We're back.
Hey, this is unprecedented. This is absolutely huge for the listeners out there to understand what it takes. If you know folks in the outdoors, you know how disagreeable they can all be with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can all have our opinions and we can dig our heels in and stomp and pound our fists on what should be right and what we want and what's wrong. This is an unprecedented area where different philosophies, different organizations have gotten together and made something fantastic happen across the aisles, across Democrat-Republican lines, across liberal-conservative lines. We're seeing a change in the way people are looking at food. Organic eating is really taking front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy eating is, and people realize that harvesting your food is a very healthy way, organic way to eat. The Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, former Chief DNR Warden Todd Schaller, Chad Belding, national host of the Fowl Life, Joel Clayfish, Midwest host of the Fowl Life, got together with the Department of Tourism, Wisconsin, which is, Governor Evers, a Democrat, governor's administration, Craig Trost, and talked about a cooperation between the largest waterfowl show in the world and the Department of Tourism, Travel, Wisconsin, and struck a deal.
Oh.
And now the Fowl Life is coming to Wisconsin, and we are going to be working with Travel Wisconsin as the official show of Travel Wisconsin, promoting the state of Wisconsin. And I can't tell you how excited I am about what we're doing. Kakich, have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime, of this kind of cooperation across the aisles?
No, and not only the cooperation, but conservation and the outdoors in this state blends every color, right?
So I agree.
I think this is a great opportunity not only to showcase the state, but all the beauty that the state brings, because not every state in the union has a 12-month opportunity to enjoy some of the best outdoor recreation and just simple hiking environments that that are out there to enjoy.
Yeah. And what's so exciting to me is that on, you know, on this trip, we are literally not just, it's not just a hunting trip. We are featuring my, one of my favorite things in the whole world, and that's the Munster cheese curds from Kramer's Creamery, Kramer's Dairy in Watertown, Wisconsin. Oh, if you've never tried these things,
I have never tried those.
Oh my gosh.
I love Munster.
They're made from a cheese by a cheese factory in Monticello, Wisconsin, and they are sold by Kramer Cheese Factory in Watertown. Something I've been here my whole life. Grew up eating Kramer's cheese curds. Got to know them real well when I was a state representative. They're just a fantastic family. Three, four generations of cheesemakers in Wisconsin. And so that is what we're going to be doing when the show is here. And I think with showcasing Wisconsin, even on a hunting show, is so much more than just about hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think a lot of people think, oh, if you're a hunter, you're forgetting about the other things to do in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has so many things to do that hunting is just a base thing. So we're going to be talking with the Kramer cheese curds. We're going to show people how cheese curds are made. We get to interview Bill Davidson, one of the last remaining living family members of the Harley-Davidson legacy.
Oh, wow.
And Harley-Davidson is, you know, that is something that's known around the world as a staple of Wisconsin. I just think that this is something so exciting. I mean, what do you think of when you think of Wisconsin?
Well, I think, one, you think of the athletics. I think of the natural beauty that we have with two great lakes, the Mississippi River, Horicon Marsh, and all of the other opportunities for folks of all ages, all, you know, sexes. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a man, woman, kid, old, young. There's something for you to do in Wisconsin that involves the environment.
Right? Oh, yeah. The state parks is exactly what I think of Wisconsin. And when people from other states, I'm like, oh, what do you want to do when you come here? My friend lives in the Virgin Islands. She's like, I just want to go see trees. I want to go to the park. I'm like, all right, we got that. We have trees. We have parks. And she just wants to do everything outdoors here because there's plenty of apps like that, the Travel Wisconsin app.
Well, and, you know, the other thing, I know Clayfish is going to hit on this with his crew, but the vast majority of them do not cost a penny.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to go and enjoy it. Right.
Well, so, okay. I'm going to take a half a step back here and say they do cost money, but we prioritize in the state of Wisconsin highlighting and showcasing the wonderful conservation in the outdoors because taxpayers pay for this. We all pay for it. So use it because it's money that we're paying in our taxes and our revenues to support, you know, parks and public access. And we've got some of the largest amounts and tracts of public land of any state in the country.
Over 15,000.
So use it. I think we're second only to Alaska in per capita land per person in public that's available publicly in Wisconsin.
Really?
Hawaii's got a bunch too, but we have a ton of public land here. And if you're not using those things, you're losing out.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't matter what you like to do because I've never met anybody who doesn't like looking at a beautiful sunset.
Oh, and you can still bring your darn phone out into the woods and take pictures and relive these memories too. So I know we always talk about how you need to get off your phone. You need to stay off your phone, get off social media, right? But then you can relive these moments because the best sunrises you have to be out there for.
You cannot see it. I mean, look. There's nothing, unless you live in a glass house, there is nothing you can see from your couch that is going to rival what you get to see in Wisconsin's great outdoors. I don't care if you want to hike. I don't care if you want to sit by a campfire.
What do you
want
to
go in a sideways banana, a kayak, a canoe, a boat, a trail, hunt, fish, watch the sky, and just like Tommy Shaw says, and too much time on your hands, if you've got the time on your hands, spend it in Wisconsin Outdoors. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia.
President Biden has laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier as the nation marks Veterans Day. There are other commemorations, including at the World War II Memorial. In Gaza, doctors at the Shifa Hospital say five patients died as generators ran out of fuel amid Israel's attacks nearby. CBS's Rami Innocencio.
The Israel Defense Forces warned that Gaza's biggest hospital was a target, saying Hamas's central command lies beneath. But in the United Nations video, hundreds of women and children can be seen sheltering there.
The Big Ten has banned University of Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh over sign-stealing allegations. CBS's John Berger says that could be bad for today's game.
Game two or three, not being on the sideline, probably not a big deal. Against Penn State, it could be a big deal because of communication issues.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Welcome to Carroll University Football on the Shaw, WAUK, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. The Pioneers own back-to-back winning seasons and are on the way to make it three in a row.
It's the final game of the regular season today, with Carroll traveling to Washington University in St. Louis to take on the Bears. The Pioneers meeting a team with 19 conference titles, 45 All-Americans, and more than 130 years of football history. Carroll University football is brought to you locally by Mia's in downtown Waukesha.
And by the Shaw, WAUK, and Civic Media. Now, let's join Don Brown and Johnny Watermullen on the field for all the action.
Let's go, Pios!
Welcome to Francis Olympic Field, site of the 1984 Olympic Games, the third Olympic Games in the modern era, and also the home of Washington University, the Bears. A fabled athletic program, the football program in its own right, 19 conference titles, 49 All-Americans. They've been in the CCIW for the last 5 years, and they've been a splendid addition. I believe the Pios have yet to beat the Bears in CCIW play. And you've got two teams near the top, or at least the top middle, of the CCIW doing battle on this last game of the season. Couldn't have asked for more beautiful weather. I'm your host, Don Brown, joined by Johnny Watermullen, and I want to welcome those listeners from Raised in Wisco, formerly known as Raised in the Shaw. Joel Clefish is a Shaw native and a big Carroll University fan, so a big shout-out to Joel and Danielle. It's a fantastic show, and we're glad everybody can join us on this beautiful football Saturday. Also Veterans Day, so... Big thanks to all our veterans out there. And Johnny, what do you think?
Well, welcome everyone, and thanks for that lead in there, Don. This is going to be a great contest. These guys line up really good. They're just lined up in terms of size, and their collective talent, really. It looks like the Bears are maybe just a little bit ahead with a record of 6-3. Carroll's coming in with 5-4. But I'll tell you what, man, I think it's going to be a great contest today. What do you think, Don?
Yeah, I'm really hoping for a great game. You know, we were big thanks to Coach Budu, who invited us to have dinner with the team last night and even stick around while he briefed the offense. You know, the different units broke up, and we got to stay and watch him talk to the offense. And as he explained, without giving any trade secrets away, WashU has a high-flying offense. They move pretty quickly down the field, so the hope for Carroll's offense is that they can keep that powerful WashU offense off the field as much as possible, maybe slow them down. But they are going up against a WashU defense that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They throw a lot of confusing schemes that make it hard for the quarterback to do his job. And big note here, WashU is coming off a heartbreaking 36-35 loss to Wheaton, number 12 Wheaton nationally. At Wheaton. Johnny, tell us how that game ended.
I'll tell you, that was really a heartbreaker for the Bears here. It's kind of hard to even get your head around this, but Kenneth Hamilton scored on a three-yard run and made it a 35-28 lead. But then Wheaton scored as the clock hit zero. I mean nothing there, okay? And then they completed the two-point conversion to come away with a one-point win. Wow. So how deflating for this Bears team. You know, man, what a
gutsy call for Coach Keene calling that, or not, I mean, for Wheaton's coach, excuse me, calling for that two-point conversion. You figure they would have got the easy extra point and take it into overtime.
Right.
Again, that is the respect they had for Coach Keene's offense and defense, that Wheaton wanted to go for it all right there and not give Wheaton any more chances. So, you know, two takeaways from that. One is they probably coming out of the field, especially senior day, saying goodbye to 15 seniors on the squad, that they definitely have blood in their mouth and a lot of maybe frustration to work off after heartbreaking loss. Or, you know, if you're a Carroll fan, maybe they're still emotionally exhausted. And that they may be in for a letdown here.
Yeah.
Especially after Carroll. Both teams are similar in that they've lost, four or five or three of their last four games for Wheaton. And Carroll had lost quite a few, four of the last five, until they finally beat Milliken last week. And, again, no disrespect against Milliken, but not having won a game yet this season, not a real tough test for our Piles. But they did deliver, and there was no letdown, a 41 victory for the Piles. And they did some things in that game, Johnny, that, you know, kind of things we wanted to see more. We wanted to see Josh Raby use his legs more, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to see him look for the tight ends more, and he did to some extent, enough that Trevor Hancock put his signature on a beautiful 7-yard touchdown pass. And it just great execution overall, and because it was senior day for the Piles last week, they got to distribute the ball. A lot of seniors, including J.R. Muth, got to score a touchdown, which was fantastic.
Sure.
And so, I think the Carrolls, you know, the Piles are fired up. It's their last game of the season. Coach Budo is really positive, focusing on the positives in terms of what they've achieved statistically this offense. And they've got a chance to break some records. Josh Raby, I believe, is maybe 175 yards away from the total yardage record for the season. And if he throws four touchdowns, he's going to tie the single-season touchdown record for Carroll. And, I think a win today for the Piles means their third consecutive six-win season, which when you look at what the new millennium's been like, or even since the 90s for the Piles, not a lot to really get excited about. A couple winning seasons maybe in there, but, in the Buddha era, they've already had the first back-to-back winning season since the 90s, and I think they'd like to put another star in the helmet, if you will, with a win today against a very good Wash U team.
I think you're right. I think they want to end up with that, you know, that 6-4 record here and have a positive exit. You know, you touched on something earlier, Don, that it's important, and it's going to be an interesting dynamic. This offense for the Bears here, the Washington University Bears, I think we're going to see something a little bit different that we're not quite used to, because these guys are kind of like Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah.
They line up fast. They have a quick offense. And I think that kind of raises a little hell for some of the defensive players.
Sure, sure.
So, but Coach Buddha was really clear about how to be disciplined last night and to stay in your lane. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see how their offense and our defense lines up today.
You know, and that was the key for Coach Buddha with the offense, was, you know, don't make minimize the mistakes. Play within yourselves.
Yep.
Execute. You know, those are all important. And as we speak, Johnny, the Carroll team has retreated to the locker room for one final pep talk from Coach Buddha and maybe some refreshments. And
looks like parents stay here.
Yep, I say Wash U is lining up. They've got two lines at both 45-yard lines, and in the middle, each senior will be honored with, it looks like, parental units. And, again, you could not have asked for nicer weather. November 11th here in the Midwest, you've got, like, May-like sunshine and temperatures. You do have the beautiful autumn colors. This far south, there's still a lot of leaves on the tree, and a beautiful campus here today at this prestigious university, the home of many presidential debates, the most recent one in 2016. And, a great student body, probably the biggest of all the CCIW schools, with 15,000 students, almost 15,000 students.
Yeah, so they got a lot of folks and that come here from all over.
It really is. So, but a little more on the the Bears, they're coached by Aaron Keene, who has he's in his 10th season with as a head coach. He's in his third season at Washington University with a 21-10 record here with the Bears. Overall, he's 68-39. The Bears are 6-3 on the season, 5-3 in the CCIW, so matching up very well.
As you know, our Piles are coached by Mike Budashevsky, the beloved Coach Buda. Interesting, Coach Buda was a graduate of Oshkosh, played football there. He was a Titan in his fourth season with a 17-12 record, and that's his total head coach. This is his first head coaching gig. Aaron Keene played here, was a quarterback at Wash U back in the day, and he's fourth in all-time stats for quarterbacks here at Wash U. And pretty interesting coaching resume, if you will. He was an interim head coach at University of Minnesota, so he's got some Big Ten experience, and he's moved around to some other places, and obviously looks like he's doing a very good job here, sporting a 6-3 record as they go into this final game. Excuse me, last year, the Pios started out as a very competitive first quarter. Wash U was leading the Pios 10-7 at the Schneid. But then the Bears rolled to a 37-7 victory. And in that game, they outgained Carroll in total offense 46-182. Bears also held a +2 turnover differential as they intercepted the Pios three times. So what started out as a very competitive match, you know, the wheels came off early for the Pios, but that was an important game for them. So they're pretty motivated to do a better job today and stay in this all four quarters and maybe pull out, maybe get some more points on the board than the Bears have. So Bears, the home team, are in all white pants, simple red jerseys with white jersey numbers. They've got a sparkly red helmet similar to what Indiana's has been like. They've got the big white U with the smaller WASH font, W-A-S-H font going across the U. And I believe those letters may be green. They're green and red, but predominantly the colors on the unis are red and white today. Piles are in all white. They've got the orange Pioneers written along the stripe on the pants. The orange, I believe they're orange jersey numbers with the blue Carroll written above it. And then the blue stripes on the shoulders. And then, of course, the orange helmets with the Pio Pete logo icon. So should be pretty easy to distinguish the two teams today. You do have a turf field, artificial turf field, very similar to what Schneider Stadium has. And, again, history is alive and well here. As again, this was the site of the third Olympics in the modern era. And that same wrought iron gate from that Olympics surrounds the field. In fact, Johnny and I had a hard time getting in. Johnny was thinking of scaling the fence there, but actually looks like, no, Don, I wasn't. That's not even, they're up pretty high, but it was really neat, the main entrance. All of that is reflective of the Olympics. I even got the Olympic rings logo mounted in one of the corners here of the stadium. So
I think what they're doing out there, Don, is they're doing a senior send-off. The parents,
yeah,
there
that's
the,
really nice. Yeah,
the 15 graduating seniors.
It's just like Carol did last week.
Yeah,
when,
so
when,
it's
when
very
you're in
special moment.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see a lot of emotion and love on there for these players that
sure
are
can.
Advancing on in their
no
their
doubt,
careers
yep.
and paths in life.
Hey, and speaking of special moments, we've got some important messages for you coming up right now. Anya, if you could take us away for a minute to share those messages, that would be terrific here on the Pioneer Football Radio Network. Take it.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back, everyone, to Civic Media's live coverage on WAUK 540 AM and 101.1 FM. I'm Johnny Watermelon, and my friend Don Brown here are in St. Louis, Missouri, at the Washington University to call the game against Carroll. We came down here to just have some fun. It's a beautiful venue, and we're going to have a great contest today here, don't you think, Don?
I sure hope so, Johnny. I think Carroll, they got back to their winning ways last week, saw some great execution against Milliken, and they seem pretty poised pretty well rested after a very smooth trip. We had the honor of meeting Khalid, who owns the bus fleet, the coach service for Carroll football. And
what a cool guy.
Really cool guy, great entrepreneur.
Yeah, what a good story.
We should have him up for halftime. It is an amazing story. Drove for one company for more than 20 years and then decided to start his own fleet. He's got 7 buses, and I think it was either a former player or another co-supplier couldn't handle the Carroll business and gave it to Khalid, and he's taking great care of our Pios all the way here. And, you know, what else can we say? It's just another example of the great support that Carroll has from the community, you know, even from the vendors and suppliers. And so, yeah, we should definitely try to get Khalid up here for halftime, see if we can spot him in the audience.
Yeah, he had such a great story last night when we were having dinner with the Pios when the Coach Buddha was going through some of his offensive pep talks and schemes, which kind of brings me back to that, Don. That event there, it was very special that Coach Buddha let us sit down and just listen and learn to that thing.
Yep.
He's very meticulous and really concerned about the mental state of his players going into this game. It's all about mental muscle and repetition and understanding where you should be, when you should be there, and how you should be running that that particular play. So I thought it was just very fascinating and interesting how he did that.
He sure did, yeah. A lot of positivity. And I think while we wait the Pios to return to the field, we're going to give you some starting lineups here. Starting with the Pio defense, we have defensive end Elios Martinez, the senior in his last game. A defensive tackle, Nick Montes, number 97, another senior from Northbrook in his last game. Defensive tackle, number 93, Tim Nelson, a junior from Racine. Defensive end, Steven Lazaris, number 54, the junior from Colgate. Inside linebacker, Will Campbell, number 42, the sophomore from Kakana. The other inside linebacker, Damon Loker, the junior from Kimberly. Outside linebacker, Jagger Vine gets the nod today. The junior out of New Franken, number 27, but I'm sure number 43, you'll see a lot of Travis Runberg, the junior from Cumberland. And then the cornerback is number 16, the Pirate Elliot Miller from Pewaukee. And then at safeties, you got Jake and the Drake. That's Jake Binkowski, free safety, number 22, and the Drake, Emmanuel, number 9. Binkowski from Pulaski, and Emmanuel the Drake from Rockton, Illinois, near Beloit. And the other cornerback, number 5, A.J. Moore, the senior out of Milwaukee's Tosa West, will start in front of Ja'Kai Bohannon, number 3, the freshman from Milwaukee, also from Tosa West. So I believe you'll see a lot of Bohannon today, too. So, and then they'll be playing, again, this high-powered Washington University offense. Matt Rush, the graduate student, 6 foot, number 17, out of Hinsdale, Illinois, is your QB. Their tailback, who scored the winning touchdown last week, or no, would have been the winning touchdown had it not been for the last-second Wheaton comeback. Kenneth Hamilton, a 5'8", 180-pound junior from High Ridge, Missouri. And then your wide receivers are number 84, Gabe Sirik, a 6'2", senior from Mendota Heights, Minnesota. Number 1, Colin Goldberg, 5'10", junior from Atlanta, Georgia. Number 4, Colin Hoidia, the 6'2", senior from Arden Hills, Minnesota. Tight end is number 85, Tom Peters, a 6'6", senior from Pittsburgh, Mount Lebanon High School, Pittsburgh, PA. Right tackle is Tyler Brooks, a 6'5", junior from Frisco, Texas. Excuse me. Right guard, number 50, Mark Chernot, a 5'10", senior from Raleigh, North Carolina. Your center is number 69, Brendan Mayo, a 6'2", 300-pound junior from Merritt Island, Florida. Left guard, number 79, Evan Rogers, a 6'2", junior from Nashville, Tennessee. And then your left tackle, number 57, Rogers again is a 79. Left tackle, number 57, Peter Lynch, a 6'3", junior, 275-pound junior from Rochester, Minnesota. So you're right away, you look at that offense, John, and you only see one Missouri address. So it speaks a lot to Coach Aaron Keene's recruiting.
Yeah, bringing people in from all over. The other thing that sticks out there, I know you're going through the roster here, Don.
Just a
quick comment. This offensive line for the Bears, they're pretty good size. So
yeah, no doubt.
I'm always a believer in controlling the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And I think we're gonna have our hands full here.
That'll be a big challenge for our Pio defense. Absolutely. And let's go now to the WashU defense. number 59, defensive line, Nate Light, a 6-foot junior from Jonesboro, Arkansas. Defensive lineman Jonathan Smith, number 95, a 6'2 senior from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. 270 pounds there on Smith. The other defensive lineman, number 90, Eli Sharasovich, a 6'3 sophomore from Arlington Heights, Illinois, and Buffalo Grove High School. Outside linebacker, number 41, Riley Merrigan, a 6'2, 210-pound junior from San Diego, California. The other outside linebacker is number 37, Henry Murr, a 6'3, 230-pound freshman from Louisville, excuse me. Inside linebacker, number 6, Grant Purdy, 6', 220-pound junior from Chesterfield, Missouri. Inside linebacker, number 32, Matthew Schmall, a 6'1, 230-pound grad student from Atlanta, Georgia. Corner is Bradley Hamilton, number 23, 6'1, 205-pound graduate from High Ridge, Missouri. The other corner is number 11, Andrew Dotson. He's a 5'11", 200-pound junior from Sandy Springs, Georgia. Number 14, safety is number 14, Ryan Schmadke, a 6-foot, 195-pound sophomore from Nashville, Tennessee. And then the other safety is number 30, Joseph Norris, a 6'1", 185-pound sophomore from Avon, Ohio. And then finally, our beloved Pio offense. We've got left tackle number Nate Johnson, a 6'5", 280-pound sophomore from Menasha. Excuse me. Left guard is Louis Corey, the 6-foot, 315-pound sophomore from Des Plaines, Illinois. The center is number 78, Max Katsanos, the 6'1", 280-pound sophomore from Cary, Illinois. Right guard, Trevor Pye, 6'1", 295-pound junior from Waterford. The right tackle, number 61, Kevin Whitman, the 6'2", 290-pound junior from Chicago. The tight end, number 45, 6'1", 250-pound sophomore, Reed Breckheimer from Hilbert. The wide receiver, Austin Eichstad, the 6'4", 215-pound junior from Cudahy. Wide receiver, number 89, Josh Hill, the 6'1", 195-pound senior from Algonquin, Jacobs High School, Algonquin, Illinois. The third starting receiver is number 2, Keon Miller, the 5'10", 200-pound senior from Richland Center. And then the starting quarterback, of course, the Axeman, number 9, Josh Raby, the 6'7", 215-pound senior from Algonquin, Illinois, Dundee Crown High School. And then starting tailback, the freshman, number 24, 5'7", 175 pounds, Marcus Johnson, the freshman from Hazel Crest, Illinois, and Hillcrest High School. And that is your Pio offense and defense. And now we see the Pios coming out onto the locker room. They haven't entered the field yet. So, again, the venue here is known as David R. Francis Olympic Field, and it is surrounded by the James Butler Bushy Head Track. So, both during the 1984-96 Olympic torch relays, the Olympic flame passed by Francis Field on its way to the site of the Games. So, again, the Olympic tradition continues to be very strong. So, again, the Pios will be coming, making their entrance from the locker room. The host nation Bears of WashU are now running out underneath the goalpost, scoreboard side, and they get a big roar of applause from the fans. We now see the WashU Bears out, and they are wearing predominantly green outfits to show that green and the red, and they've got a red kind of a bear logo icon on their sweaters. So great atmosphere for college football, what I like to call the authentic college football experience here. Some great student-athletes on the field and some great sports traditions here. And speaking of sports traditions, Johnny, I have to mention, and here come the Pios, and they travel well, as you can hear the Pio fans cheering them on. But I was going to say, the field of battle here, this whole athletic program, 24 NCAA championships, 262 conference titles, 216 academic All-Americans, and a big shout-out also to the WashU women's soccer team that are competing in the NCAA finals this weekend, today and tomorrow, along with three other teams. So best of luck to them. And, hey, before we do the while we wait to do the Pledge of the Flag, let's take a moment for station identification on you, if you would, please, as well as play some important messages for us, please. Thank you.
Folks, I tell you this much. The Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing. You can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're Did going you know to be that? The lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They got to work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Politics, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And we're back after a rousing rendition of our national anthem here on Veterans Day, all the more special. Welcome back to David R. Francis Olympic Field, home of the Washington University Bears, in this last game of the season for both games, the Bears of Wash U and our beloved Pioneers of Carroll University. And I can't say enough, we've been really blessed with the weather, both in our long commute down here last night.
Yeah, what a road trip.
And then, of course, with this game, beautiful sunshine. I heard some people even talking about maybe switching to shorts.
Don, I think you're goofy. It's not that really warm out. Well, everybody's got their mittens and their
if
hats on.
You're right under
today.
The sun, Johnny. I'd say it's pretty warm.
What a great vibe for football today, though. It's a beautiful day down here in St. Louis.
You and really most of the season, we've been blessed with great weather. I know there was that heartbreaking loss at Augustana where it was like 100 degrees on the field. That was rough. And then we had, I believe it was homecoming. Oh, the Wheaton game had some pretty rough weather. It didn't really rain, but it was cold and it was wet. And so, really beyond that, we've really had some nice weather throughout the season.
You know, I'd just like to make a comment on how well the Pioneer folks travel. This side of the stadium, from, you know, we're the visitors here today.
Right.
It's pretty crowded.
Yeah.
Compared to what, you know, the locals got going on. Yeah. I would say it's damn near half and half.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
So they travel well. Yeah. They're very supportive of their college kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So congratulations, parents and friends and family that all traveled down here to watch this final game.
Yeah. You know, it's really, as we see the captains come out on the field, for Carroll, it's Josh Raby, Elios Martinez, Josh Hill, and Nick Montes, all seniors. For Wash U, it's number 32, Matthew Schmall, a linebacker. Number 23, Bradley Hamilton. Number 4, I'm guessing that's going to be Colin Hoidia, the senior wide receiver. And then number 95, Jonathan Smith, the D lineman from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So let's see as we await the results of the toss. So Carroll has won the toss, which I don't know if they've won a toss all season. Maybe not since the first game. And they've decided to defer to the second half. So they're going to send their defense out in the field and see what we can do to make a statement early here. Both teams shake hands, and a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of friendship there as they return to their respective sidelines. We're in a press box that was here for the 1904 Olympics.
Feels kind of special, Don. You know, there's a lot of history here. You see the Olympic signs all over the place.
They've done a great job of preserving everything.
It's really
too,
got a classic feel to it.
Yep. So I've been looking forward to about ever since Eric Rupnow was telling me about it after the game last Saturday, after the Milliken game. He was telling me all about the Olympic Stadium here. So,
and I would like to apologize. I stand corrected, Don. There is one person with a pair of shorts on. So
you
know, they're having a heat wave in his little corner of the world.
There you go. There you go. So speaking of seniors, the French-Canadian from